Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about a general report on Podimation. So Podimation is what I'm calling the combination of podcasting and being able to automate the software on top of it. And so, you know, the overarching theme is that I'm undergoing cognitive cardiac rehabilitation, and you will have heard this over the months of me podcasting an hour or so a day, beginning to actually be able to improve the fluency and the structure of thoughts necessary to get back into the classroom and deal with students firing questions, staff problems, all this complexity of school. You need to have your mind sharp again. So that's the overall thing. So underlying that is the basically build your own support system and actually start automating it. And so the automation has gone down several streams. One is the actual physical, getting the podcast, getting the MP3 files, putting them together properly, getting the bitrate properly, getting the cover properly, getting them published and going across, and slowly feeling out towards the limits of what you can do. So some of the limits are, no, not necessary. You can actually just import software packages, place them in a directory, and then address the directory by command line by pointing to it. So that's a fairly simple thing, although that's fairly opaque. The some of the things where it doesn't behave correctly, there's just not the documentation for it. So that's taken a sort of a month or so before you get across these little quirky things. Say, most for instance, the one that actually stuffed me up good and proper is the apostrophe issue in the cover making. And so I hadn't set it up that the if it failed to make a cover, it would alert you. So it just would continue up and just dumbly sit there without the appropriate podcast at all. So that took a long time of just incubating along, reading along, seeing there was sort of no error, no discussion of the internet, and just one day popping up along and realizing a code which would give you that apostrophe. So that's just one example of it. The other, I suppose, area of Podimation is you can sort of dump your blogs into, say, Blogger, which then dumps it into Feedburner. And all of these have, or Blogger, for instance, has a limitation, and then Feedburner itself also has limitations about what sort of software you can dump into your blog. So if you're just normally interested in putting text and a picture and a few, and your, or even your podcast, into your blog, you can put that into Blogger. That's got a few sort of aching things, sort of not working quite correctly, and then WordPress, you can do a similar thing, but both these things don't let you natively put down HTML goodies. And there's sort of two reasons that you want to put down HTML goodies. One is that you want to step outside the style world set by everybody. In general, that's when you come to look at it, it seems good to you, but overall, people on the outside say, oh, look, that's bad taste. But there is a legitimate reason for wanting to step outside the style world. That's where you want to consider your podcast as an education package. So that's what I'm trying to do, is make the podcast available for students before they reach a lesson. So when you finally do have lessons, you have students possibly being able to pre-activate, listen to your hour or so podcast, might or might not, and people around the world listen to it, you get some sort of feedback and improve it. And with any lesson, you have assets which you build to put into the lesson. So in a science lesson, at least in Australia, you have to go in on software and order the equipment and sign a safety declaration, and then it gets authorised and audited. So every science lesson, say if you order a beaker of water and some salt, some table salt, and you just want to mix the two together in front of you, have to put in an order for that 24 hours in advance. That's then provided, but then you've signed off that you've done the safety check on all that. Now, that may be relevant, but say if you start to use peroxide, things like this natural routine picks it up, but that's an example of an asset that you have to build and bring with you towards the lesson. So the idea of this is sort of knocking your head a little bit against the coding ceiling for standard blogging, and you want to add certain things. You want to add a button, very simple button, sending you back to listen to the podcast in the browser. Not only listening to the browser, I've got the various things you want to be able to go to an archive that is a related podcast, which eventually will be a slightly more intelligent one based on a questionnaire. But after that, you have a quiz, a HTML quiz, and you want to build it such that the teacher can use the direct quiz on the data projector. It's sort of nice and big and easy to use, but it's also got the standard format, so you can actually build the quiz fairly quickly as a routine habit. And of course, when you're getting other assets into the podcast, eventually, if you've got people writing magazine articles and they know that you're writing magazine articles, they can provide questions up the front. Similarly, the jumble word, again, you want to provide a range of different assets to go in. And as you do that, there's sort of certain directions of coding that you want to do. So the entire issue of committing yourself to a particular type of blogger, which commits yourself to a particular type of feed burner, that is a feed burn distributor, is a bit of a head scratcher, because you have the free versions, but if you want to do anything sophisticated, there's basically they've locked you out of certain aspects. So anything sophisticated, you want to be able to have a style sheet sitting right up the top of your document, your feed, such that you're not writing all the time. And if you can imagine, locking this up is one thing, but then WordPress goes another step forward, that if you submit HTML, it will strip the HTML of anything it doesn't like. So WordPress, did I say FeedBurner? I mean WordPress will publish what you want, but it's actually not a simple publisher. It's some sort of strange stuff. So if you put in some code, it will recognize code and substitute it or strip various things. So if you ask to put a button with a feature, hover over feature, it will just strip that off. It says, look, I'm not interested in that, and it just strips it off. So you go up and you say, why doesn't this work? You look and you realize that, hey, what has it done to my code? It's gone across. So WordPress has got several ways that it makes it elegant and easy to use by making it a cut down version of HTML5 that an expert could go in. So yes, it's very great for beginners, but it's got this thing where it actually would trap a beginner. So if you began working on the internet and said, look, the safest thing I can do is go through WordPress, that would keep you ignorant. It's sort of rather a strange thing. Obviously the production of mobile phone apps, and up to the point of when it produces a blog, it produces an entry in a database where you can go along, and obviously you've got, say, 20 Japan's greatest, or 30, it will be 30 Japan's greatest victory is one. You want to put that all in the same app. You don't want to get different apps. And so I've gone ahead and sort of opened up the database file for the app and got to read it to work out, you know, how it could send it across. So every podcast will be a little button in the app, app dropping down. It's just, oh, I don't know. There's a sort of, you get tired going through. You have to go through and look at how to populate. So from the podcast, you can send the vital information of the podcast to a database, and at the moment, it's just storing that. Then I've written another program which goes through the database entry for the app, and I've just got to build something across which converts the two, takes the two across. I just have to think that through. I've got some of the asynchronous nature up there. So we come across looking at what exactly is developing the Podomation. So this is the podcast plus a plus assets, and that's something that I would use, and hopefully other teachers could find that much more usable. And so you're in the space, and you're looking at different efforts out there. There's a effort in Australia called Style, which is sort of very similar to what I'm doing, but they're all happy, 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 and they're based on, again, Cosmos Magazine, a sort of a premier education position magazine. So it's not a magazine for scientists. It's not necessarily for the general people. It's more, it's something, a magazine that interested school people would read. And so what they're doing is they're publishing at well, I wouldn't say random, but they're publishing a resource based on it. Essentially, one of the overall sort of the deeper problems is the structures that you have to put in sitting inside your resource resource basket. So essentially, and this is where I can see the app going across. Depending on your level of knowledge, you can press down to different parts of the app. It can support you and provide the cumulative resource necessary for this next step. So at one aspect, at the extreme level, so they're just put out something on assets basis. One aspect thing would be just an introduction. What's an acid? What's a base? How's it dangerous? What does it taste like? All that type of stuff. There's acid and base lessons that I've had very successfully, but I've been teaching a learning disability class, and I've had to learn to teach acid and base. That I had to keep the acid and the base out on the table and add indicator to both while they both can see it. And so you can't take the acid away, then bring the base, because they'll forget what the acid was. But if you have the acid and base out there at the same time, also you have a two burettes, one with some acid and one with some base, and you have to actually add to the burette. So the burettes are these long glass tubes with a tap on the bottom, which allows you to drip out a very small volume. The actual tube has markings on it, and you can use that to read off the amount of volume with very high accuracy. But in order to do this, to teach this lesson, you need to add the indicator both to acid and base so they can see that. And then it goes down in a beaker in the center, and you can see the physical acid and the base goes together, and the color, it's all exact. So and this is in terms of there's not no problem necessarily understanding things. It's necessarily the working memory. Of course, if you overshoot the working memory, there's no prizes for if your teaching style is so poor that you have to use a huge amount of working memory. If you're not controlled with working memory, you have to then go back and And then you have to have these techniques, which management techniques, which require the students to have even more working memory. But if you have something which they can see, which is these burettes of acid bases going into a single beaker, and you can see it, as you add some acid, it's red, but then as you add some base, it's blue, 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 and turns green. They can see the blue walking in. They can actually start to see and start to understand. That's one level, but if it's bound within an app structure, you can have the advanced stuff where there's actually four theories of bases, which is the sort of stuff that the Assen base, to Lewis, Brunsted, Arrhenius, and there's probably there's a fourth one, which is the Lavoisier, the original idea. I just think there's probably yet another theory of acid and bases. So all of that structure, complexity of structure, are requiring from a good control of cognitive load to high is something that you have to have available, which eventually will be put into a into an app. So that's the the major thought of binding podcasts and educational assets to apps. And dare I say, can I speak to anyone about it? Not really. I sort of know the sort of mathematical backtrack to get you there, and it's a question: is it right? Is it wrong? Will it be successful? The bottom line is, I don't know. But mathematically, the math says we can bind educational problems to mathematics to allow us to get across there. And is it something that I can sort of rock up to someone's office, knock on the door, and say, "Hey, I've got this great idea." They just, you just don't get a sensible answer. The reason you don't get a sensible answer is because there is no sensible answer. It hasn't been done before. And we don't know it's there. But the actual cost of doing it is fairly small. It's just by quietly sort of embedding it in this rehab. And we come up to the other area of the educational theories, how educational theories go with social theories. Now we come to the Rawlsian theory of justice, and when you come to think of it, so this is very, very relevant for when you're looking at these complex podcasts, say about the Japanese coming down through Malaya and all that type of stuff. How do you actually deal with this in a view which isn't laden with the agenda of the person teaching it to you? Which is it's sort of really bound. It's a theory of justice, an education theory. Is the idea that we can be just because we've been properly educated? It's fairly obvious that in some systems where there's a lack of justice, there's also a lack of education behind it, or miseducation, as we've seen it. So the theory of social order, growth, and education is all linked together. This sort of comes face to face with the HTML5, which I want to embed, and the next level of understanding, and that is the Wheel the Side software. So seen in there is this HTML, and there's a series of 5, 30, how many options you want to put down in your array. You feed it a data array, and it sort of counts the data array up, and puts you a spinning wheel. You press spin. When it hits, it slows, it selects something, it selects the option, and it prints it out. And in this one, it's more sophisticated. When the option is selected, it's removed from the data array, and so that's now a black section in the wheel. And as you rotate around, it comes to the next one. Now, the Overall theory of that obviously is that you want to be able to put your class list in there, and so as you ask questions, it goes through and you ensure that you ask the whole class. That's one aspect of it. Or also, say if you've got a you're wanting to do a discussion, say about this sounds obsessive, but I happen to be reading through it at the moment, the Japanese coming down through Malaya. You really want different aspects covered, you know, the family left at home, the Japanese soldiers, the European soldiers, the Malaysians, the Thai, and stuff like that. And basically, you don't want this all the time, but you want this as a top grade resource that when you press it, it does the decide system for it. So it clicks around, and so the table one you get, it goes around this table two, you get that. And it's sort of like this rolls in system of thought, and the sort of the rolls in system of sort of is it's like fundamentally the one of the things that the Japanese were doing is that they were educating themselves. They were educated themselves on how they did an education study of Malaya and came up with a series of problems, and then they looked at it and they were educated in the way. The way through, and not that the way that they did it, perhaps is perhaps what we want to avoid, but it means that the actual education is a bit richer when you have the fact that you are not standing at the top with your preferred option. So this is just sitting there, and again, it's these sort of low-level things about how I can actually type up a JSON file. So a JSON file is like the poor man's XLSX file, a database file, which is accessible. That's something that if you have an XLSX file, you can print that out really quickly. The JSON file is like, do I have to write a piece of software which converts things into JSON files? It's just, you know, what is going on here? So a JSON file is a file, and I don't know how to connect a JSON file to HTML file. I don't know how to do that yet, and it's just obscure, you know, there's all these obscure links up there to do it, but that's obviously another step go forward. And where do I actually place this asset? Well, I don't think you place the asset with the actual. You can place the asset with different things. Essentially, you need something which is sufficiently rich and complex and social to have different points of view. So, basically, you couldn't do really, say, like the Mars vacuum system, you couldn't do the point of view of the astronauts, the people at home. You'd really need to make this at all sensible. You need six or more points of view to cover. So, this is rules and theory, education theory, and it's one of these things which is just so thoroughly laced on the fundamental principle of stepping back. This is Rawlsian, the theory they have, the veil of ignorance. So it all connects to this is the veil of ignorance that I consider a position. That I take the principles and I don't make assumptions about myself, and then see how the principles would apply to me if I'm in these various groups. If they're taken at random, sort of the reverse way of education, the reverse way of thinking. So in education, a lot of teachers come up with I know what's in the test. I'll teach what's correct for in the test. And then I will produce something which short term shows that I'm teaching well because it produces the best in the tests. But it's the actual placement of all the educational resources and knowledge external to the student. So the student has to mentally make a mental excursion an excursion into a knowledge area, an excursion back into their own world and continue. Whereas if you take a different philosophy of getting the student to consider from different points of view, you actually physically move the student into the area, and by having you not in the area, but they're sort of considering from different positions, they have to actually inhabit the area rather than actually casual interaction with knowledge. So there's that reason there. So the HTML5 Wheel Decider, might put a link up to the Wheel Decide, so you can actually see the process. But it's a fairly simple thing to do. I think I may even be able to put it straight in it. Or no, I can't do it. So in your when you're writing a blog or something like that, it doesn't allow you to put things in a header and declare variables and use any sophisticated HTML5. Definitely not in WordPress, definitely not in Blogger, but I'll be able to do it there. So you can see the long range stuff, and at the same time, I've got to limit myself. I can't get myself out the end of this period with fantastic software and not rehabilitated. I've got to really press that rehabilitation button and see how quickly it goes. Thanks for listening. I hope this has been worthwhile. Thank you. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.